church triumphant is alive and well. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice, for we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well. This old ship's been through some battles before, storms and tempests and rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, inside it's safe and dry. It will carry its cargo to the port in the sky. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice, for we've settled question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice, for we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well.
Savior bids his children in. Only those will go who are saved from sin. Nothing evil there in that land so fair, where the saints and saved abide. All around the throne we'll shout and sing, making melody and praises ring. Cares will pass away on that wondrous day, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave his life to pay the cost. Here his banner bear, then his glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide. When we sail across the mystic sea, angels there will welcome you and me. We shall join the song of the ransom throng on the shining glory side. All our troubles gone forevermore, safely anchored on fair heaven's shore. Happy we shall be, what a jubilee, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave his life to pay the cost. Hear his banner bear, then his glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
look upon the Savior's face. We will thank Him for His saving grace. Prostrate we will fall, for He did it all. We will give our crowns to Him. Then we'll sing and shout forevermore, thankful just to be on that fair shore. When we all get there, heaven we will share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified. Won't you come along and join the host? Jesus gave His life to pay the cost. Here is better bear than His glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
Amen. Let's see another one here. How about this one?
I can still recall the day when Jesus saved my soul, when His blessed Holy Spirit came and took control. I trusted in His precious blood, my sin to atone, and I started singing, heaven's my home. Heaven's my home, and I'm going there to lay down these burdens that I had to bear. I'm going higher, His glory to share. For heaven's my home, and I'm going.
Gave His life a ransom that we could be free.
O sinner, come to Him today, for Jesus alone can give you assurance. Heaven's your home, heaven's my home, and I'm going there to lay down these burdens that I've had to bear. I'm going higher, His glory to share. For heaven's my home, and I'm going there. I'm going higher, His glory to share. For heaven's my home, heaven's my home, yes, heaven's my home, and I'm going there.
All right, let's see. I don't know what that is. How about
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way.
And all I need
tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness.
All I have to do,
all I have to do,
all I have to do,
all I have to do
is in Him we hide, Christ our rock, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, so secure, a shelter in the time. Is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is that rock
in a weary land,
weary land. A shelter the time of storm, a shade by day, defense by night,
shade by day,
a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is that rock
in a weary land.
Shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat,
raging storms.
A shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat. A time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is that rock.
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way.
And
through the wilderness,
all I have to do,
all I have to do,
all I have to do,
all I have to do.
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Correct. God has given you his book. He's given you his word to follow. And if you will follow it, then you will find your way through the wilderness. There will be no problem with that. You will make it through. I should say you'll know the way. I will not say that there won't be any problems. Let me correct that. There will be plenty of problems along the way. There'll be plenty of challenges along the way. But that's the wrong one. Let me see here. That one. There we go. Now I got it. Now I got it. Okay, hope you're all doing well out there. Just want to let me say hi to everybody. Gave you a chance to get on. Let's see. My lovely wife is first on here. Then Teresa. And then Peter. A.D. Marshall. Sonia Tardy. Carl Winters. Rachel Marshall. Peter. Capola. Al Capone is on there. Let's see. Joe McDonald. Terry Carter. Carrie Jesus is Lord. Becca. Becca made it on. Andrea. Becca and maybe even Sumo if she's out there. Teresa, Daryl's wife. John in SoCal. Blaine Medlin. Medland. Mary. So, good to have everyone on here, and I'm sure others will be coming aboard. And Sumo's on there too. Okay, good. Hello from California, the land of fruits and nuts, says William Milligan. Well, you are absolutely correct, sir. It is the land of fruits and nuts. Now, this preacher back here in 2013, actually before that, I had preached a sermon, Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name, this sermon. I preached it a few years before this, back in 2000, probably 8. Goodness gracious, has it been that long? And so probably 13 years ago, I originally preached that. Uh-oh.
And I've preached this message to you a few years ago. For some reason, it mysteriously disappeared, the file did, off of the internet. I've tried to play it two or three times, and it won't. I had other people try to play it two or three times, and it won't. I looked in my files to see if I had it somewhere. I have the notes for it twice, but I don't have the audio file anywhere. So I'm going to take that as of the Lord that I need to preach this again. And it's on Halloween. And I want to bring this issue up again. Also, having studied a lot of the esoteric things that I've learned along the way here in the last year, just understanding the occult and the way they work. Listen, you better understand. Preacher, why you got to preach this? Why should we talk about Halloween? I mean, none of us are going to practice Halloween. Well, you know what? This is for when your family comes to you and they say, "Well, I mean, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about kids dressing up like devils?" Or kids dressing up like witches, or kids dressing up like warlocks, or even kids dressing up like a transformer or anything like that. What's the big deal about that? Why should that matter so much? Well, it's because, first of all, well, let's pray, and then I'll tell you why it should matter. Father, we pray you'd bless us now and help us. Lord, we need you so badly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reason it's so important is, first of all, before I get into these verses, I just want to leave you, I want you to start with this thought. And the thought is this: Halloween is the number one satanic Witches High Day. It's the number one on the calendar. It is where the most human sacrifice takes place of any other day of the year. Halloween. Now, it's not called Halloween to them. They call it something else, which we'll get to. But I want to bring some scripture into this first. And remember who we are as the children of God. Just remember who we are supposed to be. This is what the problem really is when it comes to all of these issues. For separation from the world and everything else, we forget who we're supposed to be. We are not supposed to go about like them. We are not to be like them. We are to be different than the world. We are to be separated from the world. We're not to be like them. That's the whole point of being saved. That's the whole point, is that He changes us. He gives us eternal life, and that starts here. That life starts here. Doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts here. That everlasting life starts right here. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Followers of God as dear children. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." That's very powerful, isn't it? Don't be tricked by vain words. Don't be fooled by vain words. Don't be fooled by the guy that just mentions Jesus' name and then automatically say, "Well, the Pope does that all the time. He just said to follow your conscience," like a true witch would tell somebody. Like a true humanist, like a true occultist would say, just follow your heart.
Man, that old mean preacher. All right, anyway. So, back then, I preached that message, preached it more than once, on more than one occasion. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Well, we might get back to that sermon here a little bit, too, in the meantime. But Mark chapter 8 and verse number 38, my devotions this morning, I came across this verse, and I thought about this verse the other day. And I've written some devotional stuff that I'll probably preach to you later in Mark 7 and Mark 8. Got a lot of stuff for that. But we're going to put this in Mark 8 here. And in Mark chapter 8, verse number 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Father, please help us as we go through the scriptures. Help those that are in need. Help Brandon, Lord, who's got some needs for his tires and things like that, just different financial things. Help my cousin Harvey, Lord, and his family who are dealing with different things, Lord, that are going on. And be with our church family and be with those that are listening here online. Save lost sinners. Revive the backsliders. Strengthen us in mind and heart and spirit to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse number 38. We're going to talk about that adulterous generation. Jesus talked about that generation that would come, that adulterous generation. What did Jesus mean by that? Well, he meant spiritual adultery. To go a whoring after other gods, being seduced away from Christ, being drawn away as a man or a woman is drawn away under their own lust, as the Bible talks about. Adultery, in the sense of marriage, is that breaking of that sacred covenant, that marriage vow that was made. It is a breaking of that vow. It is a going back on that vow. It is a turning away from that vow. The Bible tells us that we are a spouse to Christ. Right? That word. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled at Eve, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, right now, the Bible warns us here in this text that we are a spouse to Christ. We are a spouse to Him. And one of the fears that Paul had was that as the serpent beguiled at Eve, right? Deluded, imposed on, misled by craft, eluded by stratagem, passed pleasingly. Right? So they were deluded. She was deluded. She was imposed upon. She was misled by Satan's craft. And that's what the Lord warns us about. That can happen to you and I if we're not careful. We can go whoring after other gods. So Paul talks about that. Paul talked about that. He was concerned for that. I'm not going to have anybody taken away from my broadcast. I'm just going to get them off of there. If you can't stay focused on what we're doing here, bye. That's just the way it's going to go. I'm the teacher here. This is what God's called me to do. This is my channel. This is what I'm teaching. And if you can't pay attention, and if you can't hold the process one thought at a time and continue on with that, then bye. I'm not going to have it filled up with a bunch of nonsense. I'm not going to do that. I'm teaching the Bible. That's what I came here to do, and that's what I'm going to do. All right, so the Bible warns us that they are espoused. We are espoused to Christ. Like in Luke 1:27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, right? So she was espoused to one Joseph. We are espoused to Christ. And we are waiting for that marriage to take place, right? But adultery is the breaking of that sacred marriage vow. It is the breaking of the vow that the Lord has put upon us as we are espoused to God. Now, the strength of the vow is God, not you. The purpose is sanctification here. Christ's hold on you is what saves you, not your hold on Christ. So I'm not trying to confuse you at all. But Paul wanted God's children not to go a-whoring after other gods. That they would not be seduced to follow after other gods, but that they would follow the Lord, that they would learn not the way of the heathen, that they would not follow the heathen. That's the one thing that God teaches us over and over again to be cautious and careful of. Learn not the way of the heathen. You know, we use these verses for Christmas, the way that Christmas is taught. You know, the Bible warns us, learn not the way of the heathen. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hand of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Now, the point is not learning the way of the heathen. That's what God tells us over and over again. He warns us of, don't follow their ways. Otherwise, you'll be a whoring after other gods. You'll be part of that adulterous generation. Part of that adulterous generation. Now, where do we find that? How do we know more about that? James chapter 4. There's a warning here in James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Your lusts, plural, many lusts. He's speaking to that group of people. He's speaking as a warning to God's people. And he's saying, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And I think this preacher right here was saying that, wasn't he?
How many songs do you see? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. What do you want to follow that dirty old thing for? What do you want to follow that dirty, rotten, wicked, disgusting thing for? I'm sorry. Did somebody tell you in your flesh dwelled some good thing? No. No, the Apostle Paul, a more godly man than you and I will ever be, said that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So I don't want to follow that. I want to follow God. Amen? Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're supposed to walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, it's not only, like I told you a few weeks ago, it's not only have no fellowship, but reprove them as well. You and I, you say, why you got to preach about this? Because I'm to have no fellowship with them, but I'm also to reprove them. So I'm to preach against this wicked, satanic garbage because I'm not to have any fellowship with, and I'm to reprove it. That's what God said. Bible says this, to abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. This word means to keep from. I'm to avoid like the plague or the spiritual plague that evil, and I'm to stay away from it as a child of God. I'm to hate evil, and I'm to stay away from it. Well, listen, when your theme of Halloween, when the theme of Halloween is witches and warlocks and magic and everything else, I mean, isn't that the appearance of evil? I mean, it is evil, but isn't it the appearance of evil? And I'm to stay away from the appearance of it?
So think about this for a second. The Bible calls us children of light, not children of the night, not children of darkness, but we are children of light, and we are to follow the light. We are to live in the light. We are to walk in the light. We are to serve God in the light, right? We are to walk in the daytime, not as riotous looters, as Romans chapter 13 tells us at the end of Romans 13. It says, walk as children of light, right? Let's look at that. As we look at Romans, we'll get back to James chapter 4 here. But Romans chapter 13 warns us and talks to us about this. Paul tells us how to be good citizens of whatever nation that we're a part of. You know, he says here, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. If you ever want to grow as a Christian, it's not enough just to cast off the works of darkness. You got to get to know Jesus Christ, and you got to put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So that's what he's talking about. That's what Paul, that's what James is talking about. Not being spiritual adulterers. Not giving over to spiritual adultery. Not learning the ways of the heathen. Not following their ways. But staying clear of their ways.
To stay away from even the appearance of it. Well, they're not really witches. Yeah, but they're appearing to be. So if they're appearing to be, then that means I'm not supposed to have any fellowship with it, but I'm also to abstain from all appearance of evil. That means I'm supposed to be all the way away from it. I'm not supposed to have anything to do with it or even the appearance of it. I'm to stay away from it. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's what God said. That's, by the way, let me say that's point number one, that should be the guiding principle of your life. The guiding principle of our lives should be abstain from all appearance of evil. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But reprove them. We're to stay away from them. We're not even the hint of it. We're to be away from it. By the way, evil means wickedness. That part of evil, anyway. There's a different evil. We'll talk about that some other time. But anyway, right now, for this context, evil is wickedness in this sense. It's evilness. Christ, in essence, was asking the Father, he said, to deliver them from that wicked one. He told them to deliver. God said that he would deliver us through salvation, that we are translated from the darkness to the light, like the Apostle Paul said when he preached the gospel. He said, from darkness to light, turning men from darkness to light. So why would we go back in the dark then? Why would you and I want to go back? And the title of this message is Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name. Which one? You know, when you name, and we're going to talk about this sometime in the third commandment, in the commandment series, when we talk about using the Lord's name in vain. But you know, there's a double application to that. That vain can be you calling yourself vainly a Christian when you don't even live like it. Calling yourself when using his name after a vain manner. Oh, yeah, I mean, you just use it in name only. It's just vain. It's vanity. It has nothing to do. It's empty, void of anything. It doesn't mean anything. You're just calling yourself a Christian. You know, when you call yourself after somebody's name, it means something. So God says that he put his name on us when we're saved, and we're supposed to be like Christ. So if we're supposed to be like him, hallowed be thy name. That's the prayer of the Christian. Or Halloween. See, those two don't mix. You can't mix darkness and light together. God doesn't approve of it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8 says for us to walk in the light of the Lord. We are to walk in the light of the Lord. Does Halloween walk in that light of the Lord?
Amen. So the Bible warns us about those things. Now, James chapter 4, as we talk, as we look at the scriptures in James chapter 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Enmity with God. That's the enemy of God. Just like the carnal mind, right? That word enmity is 8 times. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, right? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. James says that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Why? It's carnal. The world is carnal and sold under sin. The mind, the lost mind, or the flesh of a man, the lost mind of a man, is at enmity with God. It is against God. It is against what God stands for. And the Bible warns us about this. If you will be a friend of the world and its methods and its ways and how it conducts its affairs, you will be the enemy of God if you are their friend. The world is no friend to Christ. Its leaders put him to death. And shall you and I make friends with God's enemies? Shall we make a league with the enemies of God? The spirit in our flesh lusteth to envy, to follow the world and its ways. The lusting leads to contentious spirits and spiritual adultery. We have to guard our hearts from being consumed by worldliness, from being taken by it. We may ask for things, but we consume it upon our lust at times. But turning to the world and its ways is spiritual adultery. When you and I turn away from God, when we turn away from the Lord and we turn to the world's methods of doing things, their plans and their schemes and the way that they handle things, then what do? We're at enmity with God. We have to be, and then God wars against our pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. That's what he does. God is ever giving grace to the humble servants of his children. So we're going to look at this word a little bit here, this adulterous generation, and look at what the Bible calls it in other terms of spiritual adultery, and it's called whoring. Now, we know whoring also means the physical act of adultery or fornication outside of wedlock and to go whoring after them. But it also, in this sense, as we are espoused to Christ, Halloween is that whoring after other gods. It is that whoring after things that God doesn't want us to go after. So Exodus chapter 34... and verse number 15. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. So God is telling Israel not to go a-whoring after other gods, not to follow those other gods, not to go after them, not to go after their worship. See the difference? Halloween is a worship. It's a false worship, just like Christmas, the Christ Mass, is a false worship. It is not a biblical worship. It is a worship to false gods. Its mode and its method is strange fire, of which God hates. And the Bible warns us about that. Leviticus chapter 20. Verse number 6. And the soul that turneth, actually verse number 5. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among the people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them. And I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. That's what the Bible says. Now we understand that some of these, the worship is what is demonic. The worship is what is followed by the world. Now to you, it's not worship. You're just having fun. Some people. But like Christmas, it is worship. And it's not worship according to spirit and in truth, as the Bible warns us that we're to worship Christ in spirit and in truth, right? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Oh, that's the wrong verse. That's a good one, but that's the wrong verse. Oh, no, it isn't. 16. I had 6. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. You know, God warns about your relationships with people. If you have relationships, or you let your children, you let others enter into relationships with people that are sinful or people that don't follow, even religiously, they don't follow the same things you do, right? They don't follow the same standards that you do. You're in danger. Because you're allowing your children to follow the world. You're allowing them to follow into sin. And they'll eventually go whoring after other gods. If they have to compromise to marry that person, if they have to compromise the truths that they hold to, if you want to marry one of your children off to somebody that wants, and you're going to compromise what you believe, I'm not talking about minor differences. I'm talking about differences that impact their worship and their walk with God. And see, these things are going to come up with children and everything else. Who you marry matters whether you're in agreement or not with them on these issues. And when you enter marriage, that the husband and the wife's in agreement on these issues. It matters, friend. It matters. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. See the contrast? God destroys all them that go a-whoring, that go apostatizing away from him. There's some things about that we ought to consider in our lives, different things, and how God deals with people, how he deals with his people. Now, James chapter 4 deals with the same thing and talking about that adulterous generation, talking about those generations that do not seek after the Lord. All that go a-whoring after their idols.
Well, it depends on which Lord you're talking about. There is a God of this world, and his name is Satan or Lucifer or that old wicked serpent, and he comes as an angel of light. I mean, who was it? One of the high level Masons said that. He said Lucifer, the light bearer. He said he's the true light. Doubt it not. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? So Lucifer does give us some sort of a light. His name means that. But it's not the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the light that you and I should walk in. You be careful about people that use generic terms like God all the time but never use the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some of these guys are using God and they're meaning Satan. That's what they really mean. You better be careful about that. Better watch that. We're commanded to walk in the light, not in darkness. To walk in truth and love not in the evil and darkness. We're to abstain from all appearance of evil. We're not to have any fellowship with it. We're to stay away from it. That's the first principle. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you and I would follow and adhere to that principle, there's a lot of things we'll separate from. Amen. That principle caused you to throw away a bunch of rotten movies. Amen. That principle will cause you to throw away a bunch of rock music. Or a bunch of New Age hippie Christian music. You throw that away. Because dressing up like devils and antichrist and dressing up and following the actors and the zombies and the magic and the Harry Potters and all those other things. When we're talking about something like this, you've heard other preachers preach on this. And what's Halloween? I heard a preacher say one time, well, Halloween's not a big deal in our church. And then I seen his daughter that was a Christian school teacher write Happy Halloween on the on the chalkboard at a Christian school. And I thought, well, wait a minute. That looks like it's a problem. I don't know about you, but I mean, at a Christian school. Well, let's see. Let's examine what a witch says about it. A witch. She says this, and this is from a witch's website. She says, you call it Halloween, we call it Samhain. Halloween has its origins in the British Isles, while the modern tradition of trick-or-treat developed in the U.S. is based on folk customs brought into this country, with Irish immigrants after 1840, since ancient times in Ireland, Scotland, and England. October 31st has been celebrated as a feast for the dead, and also the day that marks the new year. Mexico observes the Day of the Dead on this day, and so do other cultures. In Scotland, the Gaelic word Samhain means literally summer's end. This holiday is also known as All Hallows' Eve, Hallowtide, Hallow Mass, Hallows, the Day of the Dead, All Souls' Night, All Saints' Day. Sounds great, doesn't it? For early Europeans, this time of the year marked the beginning of the cold, lean months to come. The flocks were brought in from the fields to live in sheds until spring. Some animals were slaughtered and a meat preserved to provide food for winter. The last gathering of the crops was known as Harvest Home. So she goes on to give kind of a background of exactly where this kind of came from. In addition to its agricultural significance, the ancient Celts also saw Samhain as a very spiritual time. Well, what spirit? You see, you always have to examine the spirit. The Bible says this. Try the spirits and see whether they're of God. Try them. Believe not every spirit, brethren, but try the spirits. Because October 31st lies exactly between the autumnal equinox and the winter solstice, it is theorized that ancient peoples, with their reliance on astrology, thought it was a very potent time for magic and communion with spirits. Well, they're right. It is, if you talk to a witch. They understand that. The veil between the worlds. See, they believe that the veil... Remember that fourth dimension we talked about? Remember that? They believe at that time, that's when the veil is thinner. And they can reach the spirit world, or the fourth dimension. Interesting, isn't it? The veil between the worlds of the living and the dead was said to be at its thinnest on this day. So,
by the way, does this sound like anything that Christians should ever be a part of?
The dead were invited to return to feast with their loved ones. Welcomed in from the cold, much of the animals were brought inside. Ancient customs ranged from placing food out for dead ancestors. Hey, that sounds familiar. To performing rituals for communicating with those who had passed over. So, wait a minute. Are you saying that they had rituals to communicate with familiar spirits? Yeah, that's what it's for. That's what it's for. Communion with the dead was thought to be the work of witches and sorcerers, although the common folk thought nothing of it, because the rise of the church led to growing suspicion of the pagan ways of country dwellers. Samhain also became associated with witches, black cats, bats, knights, creatures, ghosts, and other spooky things. The stereotype of the old hag riding the broomstick is simply a caricature. Fairy tales have exploited this image for centuries. Divination of the future was also commonly practiced at this magical potent time, since it was also the Celtic New Year. People focused on their desires for the coming year. Certain traditions, such as bobbing for apples, roasting nuts in the fire, and baking cakes which contain tokens of luck, are actually ancient methods of telling fortunes. Huh. This is from a witch now, understand? This is not from a preacher saying this. This is a witch. And by the way, she's not saying this for Christians, understand? She's just saying, hey, this is the way it is. This is our religion. You guys are stealing it. What about jack-o'-lanterns? Other old traditions have survived to this day. Lanterns carved out of pumpkins and turnips were used to provide light on a night when huge bonfires were lit. And all.
So that is worship. Are we in agreement with that? That that's what that is? That's worship? Their ceremonies and what they do, that's worship. And it's false worship. It's worship to false gods. It's a whoring after other gods. It's to go whoring after them, to go away from the God of the Bible and his worship, or to mingle that worship like Aaron did. It's a hybrid worship, as Aaron did. When he had the feast to God, but he had the orgy the day before. Moses came down off the mountain and saw the rock concert, right? And he was angry. That's what happened. Moses was angry. Aaron had his hybrid worship, right? He said, tomorrow will be a feast unto the Lord. We'll worship God tomorrow. That's what they did. Let's see. How about, look what the Lord says about this. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 9. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations whither they shall be carried captives. Because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. So God is speaking to Israel, and he's saying that he's broken with their whorish hearts. It's kind of like a spouse, like Hosea talked about. His wife kept leaving him, and she wouldn't stay true to him, and she kept breaking his heart, and she kept going a whoring, and she kept doing, and his heart kept being broken. It's like a man that's trying to make his marriage work, or a woman that's trying to make her marriage work, and the man or woman won't quit committing adultery. That's how God looked at it with Israel when they went after those other gods, when their eyes laid upon other idols. God was upset with them. God's heart was broke with them. His heart was literally broken over what they were doing, how they were sinning against him. Judges chapter 2.
Households let their fires go out so they could be rekindled from this new fire. This was believed to be good luck for all households. The name Jack-o'-lantern means Jack of the Lantern and comes from an old Irish tale. Jack was a man who could enter neither heaven nor hell and was condemned to wander through the night with only a candle in a turnip for light. Or so goes the legend. But such folk names were commonly given to nature spirits like the Jack and the Green, or to plants believed to possess magical properties like John O'Dreams or Jack in the Pulpit. Kind of weird. Irish fairy tale folklore is full of such references. Since candles placed in hollowed out pumpkins or turnips commonly grown for food and abundant this time of year would produce flickering flames, especially on cold nights in October, this phenomenon may have led to the association of spirits with the lanterns, and this in turn may have led to the tradition of carving scary faces on them. It is an old legend that candle flames which flicker on Samhain night are being touched by the spirits of dead ancestors or ghosts. Learn not the way of the heathen. Well, what about the candy? That has to be harmless, right? It's got to be harmless. It'll taste good.
Oh, hey, I like candy, man. All right. Judges chapter 2. Verse find the verse I'm looking for. Verse 17. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. See, that's the problem. When you know the truth and you walk away from the truth. Right? When you walk away from it, when you won't embrace it. Judges chapter 8. It means you're going a-whoring after other gods. Judges chapter 8, verse number 27. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and his house. Beware that you don't set up a tradition that turns into idolatry. See, that's the danger, that you set up some kind of tradition that turns into idolatry. That's what Gideon did. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness for 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah, and the Abiezerites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-Beroth their god. He sets the tradition up, and then he goes, and then they go after it. And they went a-whoring after other gods. It's a very dangerous thing. Look at 1 Chronicles 25 or 5:25 says. And they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land, whom God destroyed before them. They transgressed against God. So they turned from God and they went a-whoring after other gods. To worship another god, or to worship in the ways of other gods, to follow in the footsteps of heathens, to follow their gods and to follow their worship, try to worship your God their way. That's to go a-whoring after other gods. It's very dangerous. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilsner, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilsner, king of Assyria, and he carried them away. God doesn't like that. 2 Chronicles 21. Let's see. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 13. But hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain the brethren of thy father's house, which are better than thyself. whoring. God calls those things false worship. It's to whore after other gods. God looks at it as nothing but like a dirty whore. Somebody that's being paid to fornicate. Someone that's being paid to follow. Someone that's getting benefits from somebody else and giving out their spirit in this sense and giving out their mind and their heart and their soul. We're to love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Right? And when we don't, it's a whoring after other gods. And God hates it. God's not happy with it. Let's see. Psalm 106. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. See, that's today. That's the world we live in. Worship to God today is their own works, their own inventions. It's their own inventions. Man's own invention is how he worships God now. He forms his own form of worship. Well, I think I can worship God this way. I can worship God this way. No, the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we can't celebrate Christmas. Because it's not in spirit and truth. First of all, Jesus was not born on December 25th. Second of all, there's no such thing as worshiping Christ through the Mass. And for Baptists to say Christmas in a positive light drives me crazy. You're celebrating or you're perpetuating the Christ Mass. Right? That's what you're doing. Think about that. And with Halloween, you have churches doing trunk or treat and all these other gimmicks and all these other things. That's not worship to Christ. That isn't worship to the Lord. That isn't following the Lord in spirit and in truth. They were defiled with their own works. They went a whoring with their own inventions. They made up their own inventions. They made up their own way. Which the Bible never condones.
Because it's a witch's high day. So why would we learn the way of the heathen? It is an important holiday for us. Witches are diverse and practice a variety of traditions. Many of us use this time to practice forms of divination. So they're probably out there casting spells on all these children that are out running around and... Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it is a child sacrifice, child trafficking time of the year, animal sacrifice, animal trafficking. She's not saying this. These are my own quotes, but I'm just telling you from what I have seen, that's exactly in history and everything and in reports, this is exactly what goes on. It's real. Anyway, they practice forms of divination such as tarot or runes. Many witches perform rituals to honor the dead and may invite their deceased loved ones to visit for a time. Wow. If they choose. This is not a seance in the usual sense of the word. Witches extend an invitation rather than summoning the dead, and we believe the world of the dead is very close to this one. I believe that too. So on Samhain and again on Beltane, May 1st, we'll talk about that someday. We're going to actually talk about all of these high days. Not tonight, but sometime. We're going to talk about all of them. They're in a unique pattern. 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6. Really strange pattern. But planned pattern. Anyway. The numbers mean something. May 1st was chosen for a reason. Beltane is chosen for a reason. When the veil between the worlds... So on Samhain and again on Beltane, May 1st, when the veil between the worlds is thin, we attempt to travel between those worlds. Not on brooms. Although I thought I seen Nancy Pelosi riding one of those. Anyway. They travel between worlds. We attempt to travel between these worlds. This is done through meditation, visualization, and astral projection. I'm going to tell you something. There's some mysticism and some contemplative prayer going on in churches today, and all it is witchcraft. It's the same thing. They're doing the same thing witches are doing, and they're of the same spirit. We'll get into that when we cover prophets of the new age. Sometime in the weeks to come. Because witches acknowledge human existence as part of a cycle of life, death, and rebirth.
So you see, as this message, and you can listen to it in its entirety, Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name, you can listen to the whole sermon if you've never listened to it, and that'll give you some good ideas. And you can hear some of those things there. Ezekiel chapter 23, verse number 30. Therefore, O Aholiabah, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. Okay, verse number 30. I will do these things unto thee, because thou hast gone a-whoring after the heathen, and because thou art polluted with their idols. Now we're going to talk about idols, okay? But it says here, because thou hast gone a-whoring after the heathen. So you went to the heathen and you followed the heathen's way. Right? You went to the heathen. You followed the heathen's way. And now you're polluted with their idols. So it's polluting the churches. It's polluting the families. False worship and going a-whoring after other gods and idols is a polluter to the people of God. It makes them filthy. Hosea chapter 4. Verse number 12. Look at this. Whoredom, actually, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err. Ur, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of mountains and burn incense upon the hills and under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will punish your daughters when they commit. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. They left the plain path of duty. And there is a spirit of whoredoms that is upon them. You see people today carried about with every wind of doctrine, not worshiping the God of the Bible in spirit and truth, not following the Lord Jesus Christ in the spirit of truth and righteousness, but they're following false prophets. They're following false teachings, false doctrines, heresy, mixing and mingling the worship of God with the worship of devils, confusing the masses. And God says that their children are going to do the same thing and their children are going to do worse. It's one of the reasons why I try to preach so hard to the next generation, to our children, that they follow the Lord in spirit and in truth. Right? That they follow the scriptures, that they follow what the Bible says. That they turn not from the right hand nor to the left. But they follow the scriptures. Because there's a spirit of whoredoms out there. And following things like, and it's like, when people have that spirit of whoredoms, they have that spirit to transgress the Lord. They have that spirit to go away from the Lord. They are carried about with every wind of doctrine. They can easily be distracted into something else. They have the spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of false doctrines, the spirit of spiritual adultery, to turn away from the God of the Bible. That's the spirit that they have. There's a spirit behind that worship. By the way, remember this. There is always a spirit behind worship, whether it's true worship or antichrist worship, whether it is Christ worship or antichrist worship, there is a spirit behind it. It is either the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, or it is the spirit of truth, which is Christ, which is the Holy Spirit of God. There's always a spirit behind it.
Yeah, rebirth is interesting, what they believe. Samhain is a time to reflect on our mortality and to confront our fears of dying. So we'll just go ahead and astral project and contact and go through the spirit world and contact dead spirits and just to think about the dead. Some witches look at Samhain as a time to prepare for the long, dark months of winter, a time of introspection and drawing inward. They may bid goodbye to the summer with one last celebratory rite. I bet. They may have harvest feasts with vegetables and fruits they have grown, or home-brewed cider or mead. They may give thanks for what they have. Thanks to who? Satan? Still others may celebrate with costume parties, enjoying treats and good times with friends. There are so many.
So, we're going to play a song here. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about keeping yourselves from idols. We're going to talk about how we keep ourselves from idols. So, let's see. I'm looking for the right song here. One that just fits. one that's a good one here. So give me a second here.
Soldiers of the cross, arise and press with vigor on. Gird yourselves in battle dress, the Christian armor don. Challenging the host of evil, we are moving toward. We will march to victory in the army of the Lord.
March along to victory in the army of the Lord.
Jesus is our captain and the Bible is our sword. Knowing not defeat or loss, meet the banner of the cross. Marching on to victory in the army of the Lord. With the heart courageous and the faith that's ever strong. We can banish fear and sing a glad triumphant song. Trusting not in human strength, for that would surely fail. Only in the Holy Spirit's power can we prevail.
Marching on to victory in the army of the Lord.
Raging over all the world today. Soon the noise and din of battle will have passed away. There will be a day of peace and rest in heaven fair. Then the spoils of victory the saints will fully share.
March along to victory in the army of the Lord. Thanks to the sarcastic and the battle is our story.
Knowing my defeat or loss, meet the banner of the cross. Marching
All right, amen. Marching along, we have a duty, right? We have a duty, and one of those duties the Bible warns us about very specifically is a phrase that I want to show you that is four times. Keep yourselves. Keep yourselves. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Keep yourselves. The Bible warns us that we have to keep ourselves. And we keep ourselves from things that are accursed. We just stay away from them. Acts 15:29, the same idea, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. First John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, the interesting thing about this phrase right here is that he's explaining some things in the beginning of this that we would do well not to overlook, but very much so to read. Now, verse number 16, he is not saying that we are sinless. He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for him, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So he's saying there's some sins that God's people are going to commit that God's not going to kill them over. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He's talking about the new man. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We are to keep ourselves, and I'm going to explain to you how. Now, it's the Holy Ghost that keeps you saved, sealed unto the day of redemption. But it's according to your sanctification, your walk with God, it is you that have the duty to keep yourself. Just like Israel had the duty to keep themselves from the accursed thing. Just like Acts 15:29, the Christians had their duty in their sanctification to keep themselves from fornication. All right? So he says here, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of this world's system. That's what the Bible is speaking of. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. He owns all of it. But right now, Satan is the god of this world system. The way the world operates is Antichrist. The way of the world is Antichrist. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love this world when you look at the way that it's ran. He's not talking about the world as in the earth. He's talking about the world system. You can't love that. You can't look at these politicians and love how they run the world and love their seedy, wicked ideas. To love their lies, to love their child pornography, to love their money laundering, to love their taking advantage of people, to love their system. No, we don't love their system. We can't even hardly operate in it. We just have to navigate through it. We hate their system. And the longer you're saved and the closer you get to Christ, the more you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. Now listen, you won't be taken as much by idols and seduced by the world and seduced by Satan, the subtlety of Satan. You will not be as much seduced or as easily seduced if your eyes are on Jesus Christ and you know who the true God is and you study the scriptures and know the Jesus of the Bible and his worship. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, that's Jesus. And we are in him that is true, that's Jesus. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He warns him about the Gnostics and Gnosticism and all those false doctrines that were rising at the time. That's what he's warning them about. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't be fooled by the Nestorians. Don't be fooled by these that don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, that he bodily came and was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross for sinners. And he rose again from the dead, and he's ascended up to heaven. They don't believe that. This is that Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Knowing the true will help you identify the false. Drawing close in true worship to God and true worship to Jesus Christ and true worship in the Holy Ghost will help you. It will help keep you. It will keep you. He says here, keep yourselves. Look what he says here. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do I do that? Building up yourselves in your most holy faith by that King James Bible. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's how you do that. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying, following the scriptures. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's how you keep your eyes on Jesus. You know the true from the false. you know what the scriptures say. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you sin, you get it right with God. You repent. You ask Jesus to forgive you. You turn from it and you turn to the Lord your God and you follow him in all things. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're careful about entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life. I'm going to talk about that Sunday, how bad decisions, poor decisions can entangle you into situations that are bad and affect generations. So don't entangle yourselves. We'll talk about that Sunday. Halloween is just nothing more than whoring after other gods. If you want all the information about Halloween that I covered in this sermon, go listen to Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name. That will help you. That will give you the understanding that you need for that. That'll help you to understand, okay? Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name. Go listen to that. That has all the background information, okay? If you want to study that. Our newest sermons, you can find on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can find the forbidden sermons, the banned sermons on COVID-19. You can find those on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. The latest one is COVID-19, Huxley's Brave New World and Mind Controllers. Okay, you can find those on there. This one I did as a truck talk here. Wasn't really a truck talk. I was in my underground bunker talk. But you can hear those there and all the latest ones, and new ones will be put on as time goes by here. But those things are there for you to listen to. And pray for us. Tomorrow we'll be preaching. We'll be preaching at an event tomorrow. Please pray for us. We'll be outside of the Gophers game. And we'll be preaching there, the Minnesota Gophers game. Please pray for us. Pray for our safety. Pray the Lord would keep us safe and bless us. We are going to be working on our website here, this Let's Chat. We're going to be working on this. So I'm going to be sending some information to you about how you can sign up for our chat for when YouTube takes us off and things like that. We can run a chat on our website and still broadcast through Sermon Audio. So we're working on that right now. So pray for us about that. Pray for our evangelism. Pray for all the tracks going out. Pray for all of our needs to be met. Pray for others who are struggling with different things. My cousin Harvey's family, who's his wife and his daughter, who has heart trouble and has some cancer that they were trying to remove and things like that. Please pray for them. Pray for those that are struggling with sin and things like that around. If you would like to donate to our ministry, you can do that. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or you can go right here to Old Paths Baptist Church's website here, or sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. Click on the Give button, click on PayPal, and then you can send us money that way, or you can use Apple Pay. You can send us money that way, or you can mail us a check right here to 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Let's see. Someone asked me about They asked me about John Robinson's nephew. He is going back in, I believe, for another surgery. That was just a preliminary surgery. So continue to pray for that boy. Okay? We would appreciate that for sure. All right? Anyway, God bless you all. And who knows when I'll be coming back on live for a truck talk, or maybe live on the street tomorrow preaching out at the Gopher game. Maybe we'll go live in the afternoon there. All right? Anyway, God bless you all. Have a good weekend here, and we'll be live Sunday, 10:45 a.m. Central Time also. All right, God bless you all. Take care.